because Ben Johnson couldn't be here, you get us. And what we've done is we've taken a couple of questions that have come from people who have sent in questions over the last couple of days, and then if anybody has questions from the floor, this is a really good time to get your questions asked, because we're giving you an hour of our time. So if you have a case that you want to talk about, if you have a lingering question that you've had on immigration law, this is a good time. We've got all sorts of experts here that can give us their opinion on different topics in immigration law. And actually, you've got a room full of people that have a vast level of experience on all different types of topics. And so if you are not sitting up here, but you're in the room, please feel free to come to a mic and speak if you have any suggestions on any of the questions that are asked. But the first question that was submitted is for Kathy. And the question is, USC and LPR spouse have left the U.S. to sail around the world and visit many lands. They have no concrete return plans and may spend the rest of their lives living on the boat. The boat is not of U.S. registry. No plans to dock at any port of the U.S., any territory, or any possession. The LPR is not yet eligible for naturalization and would like to maintain LPR status. Any strategies that you could recommend?
Oh, goodness. Well, if I were going on an around-the-world cruise on a boat, I'm not sure that maintaining a U.S. residence would be top of my mind. But if the person is asking before they leave, I would say you may need to make some adjustments to your plans, and you may need to decide what is most important to you. There's also a couple of other things that you might ask about as well. For example, is the U.S. citizen spouse going to be working while on the ship overseas for a U.S. company or somebody else? You might have a 319B naturalization. 319B is where the LPR spouse is accompanying a U.S. citizen who is working for the U.S. government, for certain international organizations, or for U.S. companies that engage in trade or commerce overseas. And in those cases, the requirements for permanent residence are basically waived. You know, you can get your green card on Monday and you can apply under 319B on Tuesday. There's some other exceptions in there, and there are some requirements. So when you get a call from a company or from somebody who says, I'm working for this company and I'm living in Copenhagen or on this ship, what are these options for me? You have to look at the requirements. So the U.S. company has to be at least 51% owned by U.S. citizens. There is an exception if it's a major company, and it is listed exclusively on a U.S. stock market. Then you don't have to prove the ownership of all of those individuals. So I would look at that. If that doesn't work, if the U.S. citizen or the LPR are independently wealthy, they're not dependent on employment, then I would say you, permanent resident, need to make some decisions. If you want to maintain residence in the United States, you're going to have to keep some key ties to the U.S., and you're also going to need to come back to the U.S. because, in addition to the residence issue, there is a physical presence requirement. You must be physically present in the United States. I believe the number is 218 days if you're in the five-year rule. It's less if you're in the three-year rule, but it has to be 50% of the time plus one day. So even if you maintain your residence for immigration purposes, your green card is not at risk. If you want to naturalize, you also have to plan on spending a certain amount of time physically in what is considered the U.S. The U.S. does include certain territories like Guam and Puerto Rico and other places, but you should look at it, especially if they're planning on a cruise.